When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now in the Corn Roof Podcast, a sports podcast from Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network. Here is your host, Jared Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Corn Roof Podcast. I am your host with most, Mr. Jared Clem, alongside my sidekick, Darth Kevin, and It's not Thursday, folks, but since we're all be with our families on Thursday and there can be no live stream, and then Friday, you know, it's Black Friday, and we're all going to be vacationing, relaxing, whatever, enjoying our days off if we got them or whatever. Mr. Podcast and Chill himself, Patrick Donahue, is joining us for a Tuesday edition. This is our Thanksgiving edition, so full show. One sentence game, college football rankings, 9 or 10 picks. We're going all out today, plus Kev's got something weird. I've got a last call that'll knock your socks off, and I'm going to rip BYU apart. Freddy Krueger into that girl in the horror movie. Let's get rocking and rolling. First off, Monday Night Football was last night. Boys, Tom Brady's now 1-3 against 1-3 in primetime this year. Mike Evans looked strong, looked like a grown man last night, but Cooper Kupp, Goff, the Rams, they looked like they were playing better football last night. What was your opinions on last night's game between the Buccaneers and Rams?
Go ahead.
The Bucs should have known when signing Tom Brady. I mean, 1-3, like, you expect this. He's notoriously one of the least clutch players in NFL history. He always shies away in big games. Like, they should have known that. That's why the Patriots didn't want him anymore. They were sick of him, you know, throwing pick sixes in a divisional round game. The Bucs have issues. Tom Brady is one of the worst deep throw passers in the league since week 7. It looked bad. Some of the picks were bad. Mike Evans also, as well as he played, ran one of the laziest routes I've ever seen. He jogged at the defender and then cut out. And then Tom Brady threw it 4 yards ahead. Like, yeah, that's where you should have been if you ran full speed the whole time. Bucks had some issues. They're no longer the favorites. Even after the Saints loss, you could still argue with the talent they had, they could have been a favorite in the NFC, and now they're just not after losing to the Rams.
All right, Pat, what you got?
Two interceptions? I know when I was last on the show, I made the prediction that Phillip Rivers was going to throw two picks in his game. Little did I know, I was really talking about Tom Brady. I don't know what the Bucs are going to do with their season. Like, you know, at the start, I was super hyped for them, hoping for the best, hoping maybe the GOAT would have a nice Super Bowl run, but now I'm not so sold. I'm not really sold on that. I don't know if they take the NFC.
My honest opinion on the game was the Rams, like I said before, these are the two most bipolar teams in the NFL. One week they smoke somebody they shouldn't. The next week they lose to a game they should. So somebody was going to win this game. I honestly thought they were pretty evenly matched. I thought the Buccaneers played worse than the Rams played better. But the Rams capitalized. It reminded me a lot, actually, of Eagles-Giants a couple weeks ago, where, like, one team was playing down. I think the Bucs are still a better team than the Rams. But in the same, like, division of between the two teams, it was very similar to that game where, like, it was like one team was just playing himself out of the game, but one team wasn't making mistakes. So I look at it as I don't think the Rams are a legitimate contender. I think they're still kind of just Sean McVay is still undefeated when he has the lead at halftime. It's just what it is. But the Bucs, they got to figure some stuff out. The Saints have some holes in their system still. The Packers are soft as melted mozzarella cheese. The NFC makes no damn sense to me anymore. So it's just odd. I really don't know what to make any sense of it. So, all right. We're moving right along here. It's time for our favorite game. It's time for one sentence game. All right, here we go. So we're going to start off with Thursday Night Football. Scores 11. There we go. All right. Cardinals and Seahawks. Kevin, what is your sentence on this lovely showing?
Let me pull up these games in front of me because I always do that. And this was a while ago. I don't remember it. I killed all my brain cells playing sports growing up.
Yeah, that's crazy. That game was this week.
I know.
It feels so long ago. I'll go first if you want to refresh your memory. Both teams' defenses are inconsistent. Way too many penalties. Somehow the Seahawks won.
Yes, as always, like I feel like that game kind of – the outcome wasn't what I expected, but the game – like the whole game itself was just – like the defense on both teams were just lacking. yeah, I still think both Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson had good games in and of themselves and, you know, possible MVP seasons for each of them. But it's kind of hard to be super competitive when your defense kind of just drops the ball.
Fair enough.
I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked that Russell Wilson outran Kyler Murray, actually.
What was the difference in yardage?
It was only 27, but Wilson ran it 10 times and Murray only ran it 5.
But I think Murray got, Murray his also shoulder. Wanted to run towards the end because his shoulder.
Yeah, his shoulder was busted up. Also, no Hail Murray this week. Still go buy a shirt. There
you go. All right. Bengals and the Washington football team. RIP to Joe Burrow's season and knee. Classy move by Haskins, McLaurin, and Chase Young going up and checking on him after the game. Ohio State fandom, I guess, or Brotherhood. It's kind of a cool scene to see.
Also, in the words of Dwight Howard, Lord carry him now.
Yeah, I don't think you can really talk about much about that game and just not even address the issue of Joe Burrow's knee, because that was a torn ACL from that injury, right?
ACL, PCL, MCL, and structural damage.
Wow. Okay. So
he's done until at least October of next year, minimum.
Yeah, I mean he'll be looking
at it. I said minimum, like Kev, the problem is that's worse than what Wentz had, and it was still like.
No, I've seen a lot of comparisons to what Wentz had, and Wentz missed week one. He could be back by late September.
Week two, he also missed, but
and Wentz got that in like mid December.
Yeah, but the problem is Wentz didn't tear his PCL and his meniscus as well, where Burrow did. Meniscus in the it gets weird at that point. Knee injuries are odd as hell, though. I don't know. I'm hoping he's back by mid September, but I'm as a realist, I'm thinking mid October.
Yeah, and even still, I mean, I understand that he's young, but how does he come back after that injury? Like, what level of performance can we see from him? Like, is he still gonna scramble? Is he, you know, or is he just gonna kind of become one of those like pocket passers because he doesn't want to like go on the run? You know,
he's gonna be loud.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Next up, Falcons and Saints. Taysom Hill experience. It was something.
Yeah. Shout out ESPN Fantasy app for letting me start him as a tight end. Again, I think, what, like 2 rushing touchdowns or something? Like it was.
Yeah, he led the team in rushing.
I mean, hate to see Drew Brees kind of injured, but good on Taysom for stepping up. Also, really surprised, though, that Jameis Winston wasn't named the starter.
I think a lot of players were pissed about that, too. I sent to our boy Cruz, I sent a message, I tagged him in something. I saw a report that a couple of players in the locker room were not happy that Winston was passed over by Taysom Hill.
I mean, the front office and coaching staff has called Taysom Hill Steve Young 2.0. verbatim, so it makes sense that he'd start him. Also,
I know also they also paid him like $16 million to go out and throw the ball. So
also, shut the fuck up, Roddy White.
Oh yeah, Roddy White, just get off Twitter.
What were those comments about?
Basically, how the Falcons were going to smack the Saints.
Yeah, he said that they're putting out a wildcat quarterback. Falcons are going to feast.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of feasts, Steelers, Jags. Yeah, this wasn't a trap game.
Can't wait for the Steelers to get smacked around in the divisional round.
Yeah. Sounds like they play. Kev?
Wasn't even worth watching. It's all right. I knew who you were talking about. Yeah, that game wasn't even worth watching. I didn't pay it any mind.
Jared, I also have a question. I've been meaning to ask you this for 2 years.
Okay.
Where do you read the list of games? Because it's not off Google.
And that's a lot.
I was going to say, every time I try to get like ahead of the list, I always find it on the NFL's website.
Yeah, NFL app.
I do that, and I just use Google because it's easier.
Well, because I only have my laptop and with the screen. Why run multiple windows? It gets kind of, the NFL app, for some reason, makes my, with pop-up blockers, makes my my computer slow down and turns the fan on. So I just use my phone. So. You guys both went, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That game was not worth watching.
Okay. Patriots and Texans, let the Pats fans go first. Kev?
I actually didn't watch this game because I had to watch a fucking Eagles game.
I'm sorry. It's not my choice. I didn't want to watch the Eagles game either.
I watched highlights. Cam Newton didn't look bad. Didn't look good. Didn't look bad. Also, any game where Cam Newton throws the ball 40 times, you deserve to lose.
Well, yeah, Cam actually did look pretty decent. He didn't look amazing. I personally went into the game thinking that the Pats were just gonna not necessarily have an easy win, but it was gonna be automatic. But Damir Bird's catch, did you get a chance to see that?
No, I didn't actually.
Yeah, it was a crazy deep ball that Cam just kind of hit him, and Bird just made like a last minute adjustment to snag it in for a touchdown.
Oh, I did see that actually.
Yeah. But rip Pat's season.
Texans, didn't know you guys had it in you. That's it. I got. Listen, every once occasionally the blind squirrel catches a nut. So. Lions and Panthers. It's PJ Walker time, baby! He threw his first career touchdown. I'm all here for it. Listen, for all the disparity that our teams cost us on Sunday, one of the coolest things I saw this weekend and made me actually very happy was watching that man throw his first career touchdown pass. And it was a good ball, very well thrown, and it's really cool to see an XFL guy like that actually succeed, even have some any kind of success in the NFL. Even if it was just for one game, but the Panthers played pretty well. Their defense was lights out, and the Lions looked freaking awful. Oh my god, Kevin.
At least Lions fans have Calvin Johnson's impending Hall of Fame enshrinement to be excited about. Yeah, another career they forced to end too early.
I'll be starting that one. Pat, what do you think?
How much longer does Patricia have in Detroit?
I'm going to set the countdown at 3 weeks. Listen, Martha Ford left it. She liked Patricia. I don't think the daughter or son likes him that much, so he might be out soon.
Yeah, I don't see Matt Patricia being a head coach for Detroit much longer.
He's going to be a head coach, period. He's not qualified at all. Kevin made that point when he got hired, and I agree with him 100%. All right, the Titans-Ravens overtime game. You can't stop the Henry train, and wow, I thought it was bad being an Eagles fan. It almost might be worse being a Ravens fan right now. I'm just saying. Because at least my team wasn't predicted to go 16-0. Yikes.
Okay. No. That's objectively not true. And one person said they're going to go 16-0. And that person might arguably be the dumbest person in sports. Because you can say Max Kellerman or Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless or Shan Sharp. They are in the hot takes business. People go to Coward for actual takes.
Yeah, no. He rescinded this one, too. To give yourself credit, too, he did rescind it after week one, even though they won. But at the same time, I just still like the Ravens have so much hype this year, and Lamar's regressing. And it's being overshadowed because certain quarterbacks with red beards and everyone else are regressing maybe a little more. Yeah, dude, Baltimore, yikes. And Titans rode the Henry train. Kevin, you want to actually give your sentence?
King Henry, buy a shirt.
Oh, yes. Great merch plug. Pat, what you got?
Derrick Henry plays at a whole different level.
He's a man among boys. Have you ever seen his workouts, by the way? They're incredible.
If I had any drive to work out, I would probably try to copy that so I can do what he does to defenses every week.
So you can do that to shoppers at Bed Bath?
Just throw Black Friday, you're trying to shop in here? Henry stiff arm to the ground. Let's go.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not 10 items or less? All right. Eagles-Browns, I'll go first here. Changes are coming. More on last call. Kev.
Fire Peterson, bench Wentz, get a new offensive line.
I will full-heartedly agree with that. Pat, what you got?
Let Chubb score, please.
I sat him, and I think it was the second biggest mistake I made this weekend.
He gets so many rushing yards, but
it was that one run where he shoved the guy into the next dimension. That was that's the only run that saved us. At that point in the game, he had 21 yards rushing. Kareem Hunt had better numbers, and then that one run got him over 100 yards, and I'm just like, oh, boy. That run also broke the game, too, by the way. That was the game that was the play that just broke the game open.
At what point did Kareem Hunt have better numbers?
Right before that play, because he had that touchdown. Oh, no, never mind, because the touchdown was that drive.
Yeah, and Kareem Hunt finished the game with 13 carries for 11 yards and a touchdown.
True. So, yeah, no, you're right. It was that he never had better numbers than the Eagles had Hunt's number, except for that touchdown run. They were doing pretty good against Chubb until that point. So, I don't know. It's just that one long run killed that game on top of the turnovers and bad offensive line play. Also, Jason Peters should pay back every dollar the Eagles have paid him this year. Kev, you and Pat could do a better job blocking out there than he could. He made Olivier Vernon look like a damn Pro Bowler. It was atrocious. All right, I'm done yelling about that game. Jets Chargers. My boy Justin gets it a win. Let's go. 16 catches for Keenan Allen, by the way. Franchise record. Good for him. I figured he probably broke a Gates number at that point.
This game was just kind of expected. You know, it was just one of those games on the schedule where there's no reason to watch it. But final score is a lot closer than what I would have guessed.
The Chargers can't play defense, so. Kev, what you got?
Herbert's got to put up more than frickin', what was it? 366 yards and 3 touchdowns? That's a really good game, but against the Jets' defense, that is not good.
No.
Considering the numbers he was putting up earlier in the year.
I think defense have gotten a little... I think he's hitting that point in his rookie year, which all rookie quarterbacks hit, where defense is starting to figure him out a little bit. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks...
So they should start Tyrod Taylor then, right?
No, yes. Shut up.
Tyrod, it's your time to shine.
It's Tyrod time. I don't think anybody's that. Listen, I will say this again. No team has ever benefited from quarterback flip-flopping week to week. Dolphins, Broncos. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, Tua gets benched. I don't think he should have, but you let the kid eat it. You let the kid eat the shit sandwich he made. Like, it's Broncos aren't a great team. Melvin Gordon basically was that entire offense. That's all I got.
They did say they benched Tua because he was getting hit so much.
All right, fair enough. I will take that as a consolation to my or a cancel out to my point.
Also, dumbest thing I've ever heard. Lefty quarterbacks never succeed in the NFL. Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Who said that?
Yeah, that's a hot take.
I'm not going to name names of who said it. However, I came with the facts.
Does this person work for a certain fantasy podcast here at Belly Up Sports?
I'm not going to name names. I am just going to say that if you are a lefty quarterback in the modern era of the NFL, aka Super Bowl era, you have a 10% chance of making the Hall of Fame.
Fair enough. I feel like Kevin, you just text us who said it?
No, I was doing the math to make sure I was right.
Okay. Well, I was going to say Michael Vick, Steve Young, who else?
Mike Vick, Steve Young, Ken Stabler, Boomer Esiason. I had the list in front of me earlier.
It's all right. You don't have to go crazy on it.
No, I'm going to find it real quick because it's...
Pat, did you give your sentence for Broncos, Dolphins?
Well, at least Tua didn't throw an interception.
He's got that over a couple quarters.
Silver lining to everything, I guess.
Hey, there you go. All right.
Are you guys ready for this list?
Of lefty quarterbacks?
Yes.
Found it.
Frankie Albert, Terry Baker, Ken Stabler, Bobby Douglas, David Hum, Jim Zorn, Paul McDonald, Boomer Esiason, Steve Young, Scott Mitchell, Todd Marinovich, Mark Brunell, Doug Nussmeier, Cade McCown, Michael Vick, Chris Sims, Jared Lorenzen, Tyler Palco, Matt Leinart, Pat White, Tim Tebow, Kellen Moore, Tua Tagovailoa. There are four Super Bowls that were won in that list. Three by Steve Young, one by Ken Stabler. Three different MVP quarterbacks in that list. And two Hall of Famers. It should be, maybe not should be, but two Hall of Famers in that list.
There you go. All right, next. Cowboys at Vikings. And my response is because I am just that cheesy today. They still suck, but they beat a shitty team. The Vikings came back to earth. Their hot streak is over. I still think the Cowboys are awful. I'm still picking Washington. Spoiler alert for Thursday. But I want an excuse to use some music, so there it is. Yeah, Cowboys played a decent game. CeeDee Lamb had an insane catch. I'll give credit where credit is due, as much as I hate that team. But objectively, they played pretty well. Vikings still suck. Kev?
Cowboys looked like a division winner in that game.
Oh, boy. Yeah, honestly, right now, probably. Pat?
CeeDee Lamb and Adam Thielen are really good at catching footballs.
Oh, facts. Yeah, I was going to say, the only one to beat that was, like, Thielen's catch. Holy mother of God.
It like, also, just in one week.
His shoe came off, and they thought it was a flag. That was my favorite thing in the whole game. Now, the most fun game of the weekend. Oh, wait, no, we didn't cover why did we skip over Packers-Colts? That's really odd. Packers-Colts. Kevin, you want to take this one?
Last drive by the Colts was painful to watch because they ran it four times in a row and got four holding penalties in a row.
It was so bad. I thought our offensive line was bad. Oof. Undisciplined-wise. their offensive line is pretty good in Indy. My sentence is a certain somebody's Twitter account got real dark when the Colts started coming back.
I noticed.
I get a text from Kevin. I text Kevin because Sean was at my house. He just left. And then I turn on the game. I'm like, oh, he's not happy right now. And then the game ends. I watched the whole end of the game, and I watched overtime, and I watched this Marquez Valdez Scandling fumble, whatever the hell his last name is. And I said to Kevin, I'm like, dude, I went and checked Twitter, and he goes, yo, same. And I was like, that was a real bro moment. Pat, what is your sentence about Packers Colts before I give mine?
I would like to point out those were flipped, by the way. I said I checked the Twitter, and you said same.
Yeah. I said see the game, and then, yeah, okay. So
my one sentence here is refs can decide a game. That certainly was very evident towards the end of the Packers-Colts game.
My sentence is simply, God, I love being right when it happens. It's always fun. I said the three things the Colts were good at is the things that Packers struggle with. Physical defense, running the football, and they don't make dumb mistakes. So there you go. Colts may not be a flashy team, but they are built to beat the Packers. So took a little extra time, but you know what? I'll give the Colts that one. And then the most entertaining game of the weekend. This game was so much fun, and it made me so sad how it ended. Chiefs-Raiders. Oh, my God. My sentence is simply, you had 1 minute to make one stop. Oh, my God. I feel so bad for Raiders fans this week. Oh, man. I feel bad for their offense. They played their hearts out. Pat?
My one sentence here is, Derek Carr just has a silly look on his face all the time. If you look at him after he threw that interception at the end of the game, where he just kind of he just hucks it up and knew it was going to be a pick. He just kind of turns and starts walking back to the bench and just, he gives a little bit of a grimace, shrugs his shoulders yeah, that, what did you expect? I'm not throwing it deep. Are you kidding me? And then just sat right back down.
Manning face 2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I was right, is my sentence.
You were right. I mean, it was a lot closer. And how'd you think the score was going to go?
I didn't give a score prediction, but I did say it was going to be a very close game, but I didn't think the Chiefs were going to lose again to the Raiders.
I think if they do play in the playoffs, if the Raiders' defense is fully healthy, I give the Raiders a win. I think the Raiders just have their number. I think it came down to their defensive lack of communication. That Travis Kelce touchdown. Dude, you could have driven two Mack trucks between the distance between him and the safeties. And one of my gym buddies is a Raiders fan. I was like, oh, Jonathan Abram sucks. I'm like, yeah, he sucks. But that's not on him. That's not just on him, man. That's on play calling. They should have known they were going to run a seam route to Kelce. That was so open. And then last one, of course, Rams-Bucks. My sentence is, yeah, somebody had to win this game in the battle of bipolar teams. Kev?
I am very happy that Tom Brady's no longer on the Bucks, so I don't have to go to bat for him every time someone talks shit on Twitter.
The Pats.
Fair enough.
Is the age of the goat over?
I don't know, Pat.
It's time for the age of the boat.
Finished up.
I'm feeling a little bit those bounce back games that Tom has, when he was in New England. They're just not really springy. We'll see. I think this is kind of that last season where Tom actually puts up good numbers. But even still, I don't know if this is gonna, even with all the weapons he has on that team, I don't know if he's gonna throw together this crazy season that I was thinking at the start of the year we were gonna get.
Yeah, I don't know. It's looking a little less optimistic for fans of the Buccaneers or of just Brady bandwagoners. All right. So, Kev, something big. It's finally that time of year again, man. The stuff that you and me love the most, when the real rankings come out. CFP rankings came out this week. My Canes came in at 10. Your Crimson Tide are rightfully number one. Complaints, thoughts, surprises, disappointments. What do you got for me as our resident college football nut?
I don't think BYU should have been in it. I don't think they should have necessarily been close. I do think 14 is a little low for them being 9-0 and beating teams the way they have been. If they were 9-0 and winning close games, that'd be one thing. But they're beating teams soundly. I think 14 is a little low. I would have them in the top 10, definitely. I'd probably bounce Georgia down to 12 and then just slide up BYU to the 9 spot where Georgia is. But other than that, I don't really have many complaints. I think Alabama, Notre Dame at 1 and 2 makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson at 3. You could make an argument Ohio State at 3 instead of Clemson because the Clemson lost to Notre Dame, and Clemson really did not look good against Boston College. They did get A&M over Florida right because A&M beat Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They're at 5 and 6. And this goes back to the BYU thing. Cincinnati at 7, but BYU at 14 makes no sense to me.
Yeah, no, like, if you're going to be one thing, be consistent. I completely agree with that. I think Cincinnati should have been, like, 13 or 14.
I am on the opposite side. Like I said, I think BYU should be higher. Northwestern at 5-0. They're a sneaky, undefeated team. I have no problem with them at 8. They beat Indiana, who was ranked pretty... Or did they beat Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
Still, Wisconsin looked good in their first game and then took off 3 weeks because of COVID. Georgia's too high. That's my one thing. Georgia at number 9 is too high.
Oh, yeah, no. And as much as you want to rip my Hurricanes, I think they should be ranked higher because of record over Cincinnati. But, I mean, not Cincinnati. Georgia. That's the one complaint I have.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument for... I think it should be BYU at 9 and then Miami in, like, a close... Like, if you put numbers on it, it'd be like... BYU's 9, Miami's like 9.2. They're just really close, but BYU just gets the edge because they're undefeated.
I would have agreed with you if it wasn't for the story I heard this week that I'll talk about in a little bit. But like BYU had my respect this week up until about I heard this story. Well, I think this morning at like 6 a.m. I was reading something about it. But
and then
honestly,
the rest. I mean, Iowa at 24, 3-2. I don't love, but I don't know who else you would put there. I think. Look for Coastal Carolina to keep moving up. They're winning games convincingly. The Chanticleers are doing a phenomenal job on that turquoise turf they have. You'll love to see it.
All right. Yeah, I don't know.
Army should be number 4, obviously.
Thank you. I didn't want to be the one to say it. I'm glad that
you... I'd be biased if you said it, but because I can say it for you. Army should be 4.
Yeah.
If you ignore their record and how they've looked on the field, they should be number 4.
I mean, the only game that they really played, like, terribly, it was against Cincinnati. And I personally feel like Cincinnati's ranked too high, so Army doesn't even belong in top 20, top 25 this year.
Wait, Kev, you took the Bucks or Rams?
Bucks. You said shake head yes or no, and you said Bucks, and I shook my head yes.
Okay, so then Pat won this week, by the way, boys and girls.
I don't believe that for a second, sir.
Because you hit your upset pick, that's why. Me and Kev each had 3 and you had 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, first time in Corner Booth podcast history. The underdog.
I can't believe he fucking won. Kev would have won if I was about to give him the Rams pick and I'm like, you know what, let me just text him and see what he took. And he goes, I took the Bucks. I'm like, oh shit, Pat won.
Yeah, I don't want to lie.
Yeah, no. Because we all took OSU. Obviously, smart pick. I didn't think Indiana was going to pull it off. They actually made the game closer than I thought, though. We all took Wisconsin. It's an L right there. Me and Kevin took Oklahoma State. Pat, you actually got 5, dude.
Wait, hold on. Oh, tap on the haters.
Wait. No, you got 4. Never mind. But still, good
Never
job.
Never mind. Pat. Not dabbing on haters.
You know, so then Pat took Oklahoma. I was the only one who took the Colts. We all took Kansas City. And then we all got wrong in the Bucs. Then Pat his upset pick. So that's 2.
We didn't all take Kansas City.
Yeah, we did.
All week you were saying the Raiders were going to win again.
But I took Kansas City. Go back to the tape. I took Kansas City. I even marked it down.
On the tapes.
Yeah, so we all took Kansas City. It's 3, 4. No, Pat, you actually got 5, dude.
What was the last pick that got me extra point?
You took the Oklahoma Sooners over Oklahoma State.
Okay. Elite picking methods, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so Pat wins this week, boys and girls. Just crazy. Pat gets his 5. I get 3. Kev gets 3. And there you go. All right.
And percentage-wise, that's where we call it, right? Like, this is where we end, like, the picking season.
Yeah, it's Kev like fantasy.
Yeah, exactly.
Kev would still probably win by about a foot.
I'm coming after you. I'm hot on your heels.
All right, so
coming for that ass.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right. Moving on. No OnlyFans conversation yet, Kevin.
Subscribe to me, all right. Kevin's OnlyFans.
Speaking of college football, we got two big stories here before we move into God, I can't remember my handwriting. Oh no, it's the football picks. Dabo Sweeney, you got something, Kev. Let's hear it. Let me hear you rip your favorite coach to rip.
Shut the fuck up, Dabo. Oh, my God.
Damn, like, coming in hot fastball.
He keeps getting asked about, which is fine, but he is saying, like, look, when LSU had to cancel because of COVID, like, the team didn't say this. Fans were saying, like, oh, LSU's scared. They just don't want to play Alabama. They don't want that ass whooping after all talking all that shit all offseason. Dabo keeps bringing up, oh, no, Florida State just didn't want to play us. They should take a fork. Shut up, Dabo. Half of your team has COVID. Your starting quarterback got COVID. This is a safety issue because your team can't stop getting a virus when Florida State has not had a lot of issues lately. It's not like they suddenly, the day of the game came out and said, oh, by the way, 3/4 of our team has COVID. No, it was canceled because of your team, Dabo, and I don't like Florida State. I don't care for them. They are irrelevant to me. However, shut up, Dabo. Oh, my God. You are probably one of the few people on Earth who has not necessarily done anything wrong. They just won't shut up. And therefore, everyone hates them now. Before, Alabama fans were like, oh, once Dabo's done at Clemson, he should come here. He should come home. Coach, now, hashtag never Dabo has been trending amongst Alabama fans for a while because the man can't shut his mouth.
Oh no, Dabo's a tool. I hate Dabo. I hate Clemson. Hate Lawrence. Injury faking little bitch. I agree with you though, because Florida State, as the resident ACC guy here, the worst team in the ACC for containing COVID were Clemson, and then the Virginias and Wake Forest. That's who had the problems. And Notre Dame, too. Miami had a little bit of problems, but they were able to keep the guys separate because they were on that little micro-bubble system they run. I don't know. I don't understand it. I read the paperwork for it. It's weird. But Florida State, honestly, to their credit, which I rarely give credit to that crap hole in Tallahassee, has been very good about COVID this year. So hats off to the boys up in Tallahassee. They've done okay. Dabo, shut the hell up. Your team basically has paid off the ACC for 5 years to be good. The refs always give you calls. Don't talk. Seriously. You ready,
Kevin,
for more
angry
news? Or Kev, you want to have anything down on that?
Yeah, how's your blood pressure after that, Kevin?
Through the fucking roof. My Apple Watch told me I'm having a goddamn panic attack after that.
All right.
My God, I hate Dabo.
All right, so I alluded to this before. We were talking about the college football playoff rankings. BYU is ranked, what, Kevin? 8th? 9th? No, 15th. 15th, right?
14th.
14th, okay. Cincinnati is ranked 7th. I was all about putting BYU ahead of, you know, a team like my team, like Miami, who basically has played only 2 good teams all year and barely beat one of them and got their ass kicked by the other. I will say this. BYU had my respect with their boy, with Kev's boy, Zach Wilson, and that whole squad. I thought they were going to be a good team. They earned my respect when they beat the snot out of Boise State. Then it comes out, Washington reached off, and they both have an empty spot in their game. they reached out and said, hey, let's play our game for the schedule. I don't know how it worked, but I guess it was they reached out. They both had an open spot on their schedule, and BYU declined. Gave no reason, just declined. And it was by the same hardo that me and Kevin have ripped apart before. I don't remember the guy's name. He's one of these college football commentator hardos. I don't know the guy's name. I'll have to look it up later. But
No.
Independent podcast guy. I don't know what his name is. He's big on TikTok. I can't remember his name, though, right now. If this is true, that BYU just basically rejected it for no reason, BYU has no business being inside the top 15. I'm sorry. You have not played anybody inside a Power 5 conference all year. I don't even think Cincy deserves to be in that conference. Neither does Georgia. Neither of those teams deserve to be in the top 10. My Hurricanes barely deserve to be there. And here's the kicker. I don't want to hear a single damn word out of a BYU fan the rest of the season, because that just proved. They know Washington is not a great team by any stretch this year. They're having a down year. Unless they cite safety concerns, which I understand, but there's nothing to like back that up right now. If they just decline it, just decline it. They got nothing to say. No, done. They don't deserve a spot in the college football rankings higher than 15. They're just another one of these non-Power 5 schools who goes undefeated. That's all they are to me at this point. I don't care. BYU's dead to me. So there you go.
I would agree with you any other year. If last year, next year, 2 years, because next year this is probably going to be an issue again. If Washington said, hey, we asked them, we both had an open week, and they said no, yeah, I'd agree with you. But this year, they weren't asked about it yet. This just came out on Twitter today. Safety concerns is a big thing, because there are logistics behind taking your team traveling to Washington or having Washington travel to you that you have to put in quarantines, protocols that you've been planning for weeks, and now you'd have to suddenly do that all on the fly.
I don't know if this was on the fly. This may have been weeks in advance. I want a clarification on the story, but if like there has been planning in it for weeks and like they made this reach out, because it came out. I saw this video last night, so it was a Monday. It may have come out last week. This may have been in the works for a couple days. I want to get clarification on this before I will, on our Tuesday show next week, I will have a full report on this. But if this is true that they have had weeks to prepare, you're saying with all the safeties, quarantines, all that other stuff, no excuse. If it was a last-minute thing, like it was the week of, then yes, Kevin, you are fully right. This year they have an excuse here. So I will agree with that point.
I just want to wait till both schools make a statement about it rather than going by what I saw on Twitter.
No, I agree completely. It's weird. I still don't think BYU is a top 10 team to me. I honestly respect them more than Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati really isn't beating a good team this year. They just kind of just hung around with – they've beaten the snot out of a bunch of AAC teams and a bunch of their non-conferences. That's basically it.
Yeah, they defeated a powerhouse triple option team, Army. So, you know, they really certainly deserve to be number 7.
They should be top 5 then.
Yeah, I mean, that game.
Powerhouse like Army?
Yeah, I mean –
wow,
that was only like a two score win for them or something like that. Like it wasn't a blowout.
There you go. All right, you boys and girls, ready for our holiday 9-pack? It's a Thanksgiving special, boys and girls. Here we go. Let's crack open that two-hearted.
We have a sponsor though.
We do. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Kevin, are you doing some whiskey out of it yet or no?
What is it? Not. Are we doing the 9-pack?
9-pack, yeah.
I'm not doing whiskey. I don't have enough. I got to save some for when I'm dealing with my family on Thanksgiving over Skype.
Wow.
But Kong Beer Bong, it's a koozie. It's a beer bong. They are sponsoring the Holiday 9-Pack. I will tweet out our link because we have a special link. I wish they could have just given us promo code, but I hate bubbles.
So I will say, I ordered mine like earlier this week. I'm actually super excited for it. Like, I was hoping to get it, like, by the time that we were doing, like the next live stream or something, but because of the holiday, like, it's just going to end up working out that way.
Yeah, no, it's a nice product. I got to get used to using it. I just got this yesterday, and if I am doing a beer bong on Sunday night for no reason, my family might force me to go to AA. So, but now we have a reason. Calling beer bong. I haven't done one of these since college.
He's doing one on air. This is beautiful. I mean, we might have to get this video clip.
Yeah, just send it to you. We're going to tweet this out later. But Kong Beer Bong, it's a great product. It's really cool. And let's get it. Time for the Thanksgiving 9-pack.
There you go.
Astrovia, dude.
Cheers, boys.
Roll Tide.
All right. So, we're kicking off with the Thanksgiving games. Lions, Texans, two teams have disappointed some people this year. The Lions have been playing basically to expectation. This game is a crap hole, but it should be fun. Who you guys got?
Ooh. Man.
The spread on this game is Texans -3.
In Detroit? Ask me, fans. Detroit, so... I'm going with the hot team here. I'm going with the team that didn't get shut out on Thursday. I'm going with the Texans. Deshaun Watson's playing fun ball. I think he's happy that Bill O'Brien's gone. He's still got some good receivers. Jeff Okuda looks like he's slow. He's not playing up to his potential so far. That Lions team just needs to get rid of Matt Patricia now, cut bait, and just kind of kick around a little bit until the end of the season. I got Texans.
Yeah, I'm really thankful for Deshaun Watson last week in fantasy football, putting up like, I think it was like 33 points or something. You know, sucks that he had to play the pass to do that, but I'll take the Texans over the Lions in this game for sure. I feel like I saw a lot better. They looked better against the Patriots than they have all season. So hopefully they can keep that momentum going into Thursday.
Yeah, I'm taking the Texans. They love Romeo Crennel. They're so happy to see Bill O'Brien out of there. They're playing for this guy. I think they should probably keep him on next year, too, see how it works out.
I'd be up for it. I mean, he would be still the oldest coach in the NFL by a damn mile. But, I honestly so clean sweep on the Texans here. You know what? I have a really good feeling, but I think we're going to see a lot of scoring in this game. I think we're going to see a lot of DeAndre Swift. He's upgraded to questionable, possibly probable. Stafford's playing. Galladay should be playing. So, it should be a fun game. All right. Washington, Dallas. Every year, it's the same game. Every year, it's always disappointing. I got the Alex Smith-led Washington. They are just going to get after Andy Dalton early and often. That pass rush is still dynamite. And the worst part of that Dallas Cowboys offense is that offensive line. I'm going with Washington here.
Can we pick upsets during the Thanksgiving game, or are these just a special three?
Did we allow that last year? What was the line in this game, by the way?
-3, Dallas.
I mean, if you want to take Washington as your upset, go for it, Kev.
Yeah, Washington's my upset. I think they're going to pull it out. Dallas has no defense. And Washington, with some veteran leadership in Alex Smith, he played well last week. He's got Terry McLaurin. Their ground game's okay. Some days it's better than others, but I think their defense is good enough to slow down Dallas enough. Get after the quarterback with that front seven. Hopefully don't break another quarterback, but I think they're going to give Alex Smith fits. I think they should probably go back to Dwayne Haskins early in this game so Alex Smith doesn't almost lose his leg again.
But you're still taking Washington.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys you ever just get a hunch? You can't explain it. You feel like the Cowboys are just going to pop off for some reason that, you know, Amari Cooper might just put up like one of the best games of the season.
Can't give up. He's not going to help you in fantasy this week.
Amari Cooper, I'm calling on you, buddy. Don't make me regret drafting you in like every league that I'm in. But I feel it. I really do feel like the Cowboys are going to pop off against Washington. And call it a hunch. Maybe Zeke will even kind of carry the team a little bit, but I really think as a whole team, Cowboys win this.
Also, I'm an idiot. I think it was the beer bomb. Somehow I gave the Washington football team's quarterback room to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know how I messed that up that badly.
I mean, I would love to see a Garrett Gilbert sighting on Thursday. So, like, I love that kid's game. I think he's got no fear. So,
he better have no fear after Andy Dalton dies.
Yeah, basically. Chase Young's going to smush him like a bad pancake, dude. Pat takes the boys. All right, Ravens Steelers, the night game in Heinz Field. Ravens are skidding like crazy. Steelers are still undefeated. I really smell upset here, but I'm still taking the Steelers. I just think that all they just gave Baltimore fits last time. And that we said the last time, the difference between these two teams before Lamar started downfalling, this was the game that this last time they played was the last time that Lamar kind of went woo. I'm telling you right now, the biggest issue with the Steelers is the fact that they're running the games. Half the Ravens are on. There's like 19 guys on the COVID list right now. So give me Pittsburgh in a big one here. Yeah, this is the same post.
Oh yeah, we do. I really do feel like this is an easy win for the. I won't say easy. I think it's still a win for the Steelers. We touched on it earlier. Lamar Jackson isn't really playing well. Like he's regressed since last year. And the Steelers just on defense and offense are solid all around. I don't see a way that the Ravens kind of run off with this game. Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson struggles against good defenses. When he can't run, that you have him beat. And they have a athletic linebacker in Devin Bush. Put him on a spot. What?
Out of the season.
He is? Since when?
Like week 7?
I don't really care about the Steelers, so I don't follow it. But still, I mean, TJ Watt's still athletic enough. You can contain Lamar Jackson even with this defense. So, yeah, give me the Steelers.
No, they do have an athletic defense. Even without Devin Bush, they've still played very well this year. So, to more to Kevin's point, the addition of Minkah Fitzpatrick. We all made fun of them last year when they were, like, out of the playoffs, and they still made it. They traded their first-round pick for this guy, and yet he's a huge difference maker on that defense along with everyone else they've got back there. Their pass rush with Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt is phenomenal. So, yeah, clean sweep on the Steelers there. So, Pat, you were the only person who didn't go clean sweep with us. You broke up the clean sweep on Thanksgiving this year.
Wow.
Because last year, me, Savannah, and Kevin all went clean sweep across the board for all the games, I do believe, and we all went 3-0.
Look, well, I'm just trying to carry that momentum into next week.
Wow, watch. The Cowboys are going to win.
And I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to be throwing stuff. All right. Colts, Titans, round 2. Let's see if the Titans don't disappoint me this time. Kev, what is the line on this nightmare?
Indy -3.5.
Ooh. I'm taking the Titans by upset. We're doing this. Okay, so last week my upset was a little disappointing. Don't want to talk about it. I believe in leaning on Derrick Henry. I believe in A.J. Brown being an animal. I believe on Ryan Tannehill not turning the ball over. I believe that Phillip Rivers will turn the ball over. Also, the running game for the Texans looked a little tight. Colts looked a little shaky in the final seconds against Green Bay. So, give me Tennessee as my upset. Kevin.
Give me the Colts. You know, I think they're going to be riding high after that Packers win. Phillip Rivers has looked good as of late. You could argue that it's only a matter of time before he returns to form. But this defense, I mean, they held Derrick Henry to 100 rushing yards last time, and that's the magic number. If you can get him to stop at about 100, I think at 103, you're going to win the game. I honestly trust Phillip Rivers at this point more than I trust Ryan Tannehill. Not as much with turnovers, just I trust Phillip Rivers to make plays more. And, I mean, last week they held Aaron Jones to 41 rushing yards. I trust this defense still. I trust these weapons, and I trust Phillip Rivers, and that's probably a Braves man's last words, saying you trust Phillip Rivers, but the man doesn't even know how to use a contraceptive, for God's sake. But
Captain Rabbit, baby!
But, you know, yeah, give me the Colts.
All right, Pat, Colts, Titans, who you got?
Yeah, to kind of just touch on what Kevin had said, I mean, the Colts did a real good job last time of stopping Derrick Henry, and that offense, I feel like, is just so built around Derrick Henry's run. And the Colts are just really good at stopping the run in general, so as long as their defense can hold up and keep Henry to, I'll even say 150 yards, they get a win on this.
All right. So I'm lone wolfing it here. I'll take it. All right. Buccaneers, also, Chiefs.
You pick Auburn to upset Alabama. Pat, I'm looking at you. I'm going to burn your house down.
Pat, oh, boy. Do what you want.
Is it my katana's time to shine?
Burn it to the ground. I got you. All right. Chiefs, Bucks. I'm just taking this one in. I got the Chiefs, man. Oh, boy. It's not that the Buccaneers aren't a good team. It's the fact that the Chiefs just took arguably one of the better teams in the league, the Raiders, the distance, and pulled it out. Do the Chiefs play down to competition? Yes. Do the Chiefs have a better offense than the Buccaneers and less like chaotic in the locker room? Yes. Do the Chiefs have a better quarterback? Yes. Chiefs have better receivers? Maybe. I don't know. I'm going with the Chiefs. It's not close. They're gonna pull away towards the end. Edwards Hilaire will be the difference, by the way.
I'm assuming here that the Bucks would be the upset pick, right? Like that's just an objective truth on the money line.
Yeah, Chiefs are -3.5, and it is in Raymond James in Tampa.
All right.
That's a 6-point.
I know I bashed Brady earlier a little bit on the podcast, but give me this as my upset game. Let's see if Tom can just do that little like quick come around or comeback thing. Let's see if he can put Mahomes in his place.
Wow, all of our upset. We're all taking gimmies this week. Holy crap! No upsets in our freebies.
I think the Chiefs are a better team. I think across the board. Across the board, I think the Chiefs are a better team. I think receivers, you could maybe make the argument that the Bucs are better just with star power, but the Chiefs have been playing together with this core for a couple of years now. This is a whole new core for Tampa. Yes, it's week 10, I think. And they've had time to get together, but you haven't seen that really. They have not looked good together in big moments. And I think that's going to be the difference maker. Patrick Mahomes and that offense look good in big moments. So give me the Chiefs. I realize I never said that I was taking the Chiefs.
Oh, no, I already marked it down. I kind of figured you were going to, the way your conversation. You weren't going to pull a mean, completely flip at the end of the sentence. So it's only backfired on me once, picking before you finish your sentence. All right, last one. Pat's Cardinals in Scottsdale or in Foxborough?
It's in Foxborough.
What's the forecast looking like for Sunday, boys?
Um, 49 and sunny.
All right, give me the Cardinals. It's gonna be so close. I think Bill is going to have a game plan for Kyler, but if there's one type of quarterback that always gives Bill Belichick a little bit of trouble, it's Kyler Murray. And I just don't think it's not the Kyler Murray type, the scrambler, the guy who improvises, likes to run. Give me the Cardinals because their offense is just who's Gilmore going to cover? Hopkins? Okay, Kirk's open. Oh, and they still have Chase Edmonds and, you know, Kenyon Drake out of the backfield. They still have a decent tight end core and Isabella. It's just so much offense. I think the Patriots will put up a fight, but once again, if they fall behind, Cam Newton throwing the ball 40 times, kind of a recipe for disaster. So I am going to take the Cardinals here.
This pains.
Kev, you look like you're passing the kidney stone, dude.
You almost talked me into taking the Patriots.
I know. I could see the gears turning in your head. I could see the smoke of anger coming out.
You almost talked me into it because you're an idiot. Oh, who's going to cover Christian Kirk? Oh, who's going to cover? Oh, only the number two graded, graded cornerback from last year, J.C. Jackson. Mm-hmm. However, DeAndre Hopkins is a big physical receiver, and Stephon Gilmore this year has shown he struggled with that. Stephon Gilmore is having a down year. Hell, I would put Stephon Gilmore on Christian Kirk, see what J.C. Jackson can do on DeAndre. You got Devin McCourty over the top. He's getting up there, but he's still good in coverage.
And then there's Fitz.
That pass rush is pretty good for the Patriots. Chase Winovich is a good young pass rusher. However, they don't have linebackers. If Kyler Murray takes off and he gets into the second level, you're screwed. He's getting 5-10 yards every time. I hate doing it. Give me the give me the Cardinals, not the Colts. I'm an idiot.
All right. Patrick.
Yeah, this is really painful to say, but give me the Cardinals. I don't really know if we ever on this podcast have talked about how J.C. Jackson might actually be a better like corner than Stephon Gilmore this season, because Stephon Gilmore, when we've seen him play this year, he's not playing like the number one corner in the NFL. J.C. Jackson, it's pick every game. You know, he disrupts plays and he's out there performing. But I don't think it's going to be enough to disrupt the Cardinals. And you're right. Like, Kyler's just going to run over the Patriots. So, Cardinals it is.
All right, time for gimmies. Kevin, what is your gimme this week? Not. What is it?
We all took
upsets. Yeah, it is. Oh, it was colleges. Damn it. I forgot. So many picks.
There we go.
All right. Iron Bowl. Alabama, Auburn. Who's hosting this year?
It's in Tuscaloosa, I'm pretty sure. No, it's not. It's in Alabama. So I'm very messed up because I went to the Iron Bowl my senior year, and I still think my senior year was a year ago. I'm getting old. I hate it. It's in Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It is Alabama's -23.5. And there have been reports that Greg Byrne, Alabama's athletic director, is going to allow 100,000 people in the stadium.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm running with Alabama. I'm taking my money if I was you.
And roll tide.
Roll tide. Yeah, it's a clean sweeper for Alabama.
I was waiting to see if Pat was ready. I was getting my lighter. So, I think I hate the cliche, throw out the record books when these teams play. However, that is true with Alabama, Auburn, and the Iron Bowl every year. Throw out the records, doesn't matter. This is if you have a lost season, this is the game you care about. However, Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris. This offense is loaded even without Jalen Waddle, because you also have Malachi Richards. Give me Alabama with the points.
All right.
Last week, I didn't think they'd cover against Kentucky, and they blew him out by 60.
That was on you, pal. I even thought they were going to cover that one.
It was 30.5. I figured, you know, they hadn't played in a week.
It's Alabama, though. It's Kentucky, man. They're having a down season.
No, they are not having a down season. They're having a regular season. Last year was an up season.
I was going to say, all right. So, Pat, you're on band. Right. Yeah. Okay. So we're clean sweep.
UNC Notre Dame.
I want to pick UNC here, but the last time I picked against Notre Dame, they killed me twice. So I'm gonna take the Fighting fucking Irish. All right. You know what? Oh God, this hurts more than picking Clemson.
It's in Chapel Hill. Notre Dame's -3.5. I think Clemson, without Trevor Lawrence, is still a better team than North Carolina across the board. I would rather have Clemson's backup five-star freshman quarterback than Sam Howell, so give me Notre Dame.
I'll take Notre Dame, too. Strike while the iron's hot. And I feel like they're not playing like the Notre Dame that I think of when I think of Notre Dame from like previous seasons watching college football.
Why? Because they look good?
Yeah, they look halfway decent.
All right, Iowa State, Texas. Kevin, what the hell is the line on this game, by the way?
So it's in Austin at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. Texas is -1.5.
Ooh. Okay.
God, I hate this because Texas, every time I pick against Texas, they burn me. But every time I pick Texas, they burn me. So I'm taking a loss either way. I'm going Cyclones. Screw you, Texas. Oh, my God. Every time I pick Texas, they burn me. So, or I pick against them, they burn me. I can't win with these losers.
Yeah, I kind of enjoy watching Texas. I'll take Texas in this.
I am going with Tejas in this one.
God, I'm screwed now. Kevin picked Texas to win automatically.
Horns up, baby. Go buy a tailgate seat with the horns up on it. I think Texas is a better team than Iowa State. Also, Iowa State Cyclones is a stupid name, and also I don't think Iowa State should be in the Big 12. That has always bothered me. So fuck you, Iowa State.
Can I change my pick yet?
No.
You changed your pick literally 2 hours before kickoff once.
Yeah, because I forgot that the game was canceled. It was canceled the day after we made picks, and then you texted me reminding me, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I'm changing it.
So I should be able to change it on the show.
Was the game canceled?
No, but it doesn't matter.
Also, I'm joking. I don't care.
Okay, I'm going with Texas, too. Hopefully it's a kiss of death for these losers. All right. Clean sweep on Texas. All right, gentlemen, gimmies. Give me your gimmies. Let's hear it.
Is Clemson playing this week?
No, they're not.
Jared, don't hate me.
Yes, they are.
They are?
They're playing Pitt.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. All right.
I'm not picking that game.
Yeah, hell no.
Pitt is the king killer. Over there in Clemson. I'm not taking that. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Give me... What are some other college football games? Because I know...
Oh, crazy thought here. Crazy thought here. If Clemson loses to Pittsburgh and Miami and Notre Dame win out, Clemson doesn't even make the ACC title game. Just think about that for a second.
Make the college football playoffs, which sucks.
We'll see. If they lose to Pitt, they're dropping. As much as they love Clemson, they can't.
Oh, no, they'll be a two-loss team at that point. Never mind.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be Miami versus Notre Dame in this ACC final. And as much as you rick my Canes, they actually have the speed to beat a Clemson team. I mean, a Notre Dame team. I'm just saying. She's getting crazy. What?
I know my upset.
You mean your gimme?
Yeah, my gimme. Sorry, yeah, this is not enough.
I wonder who it's going to be. Both of you guys are looking at me like you got stakes. Yeah. So both of you, one of you can take it. So who says it first?
As a -27.5, give me the Buckeyes over the Fighting Illini.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so Kev takes OSU. Oh, no, I thought you were going to take something else, and I was like,
oh, I'm taking what he didn't. Give me Seahawks over Eagles.
I said I was never going to pick the Seahawks again because Jared bitches until I feel bad and pick something else or somehow the Eagles win.
I have no shame.
All right. Pat, I hope you just gave my boys the kiss of life here. So
that's also why I didn't pick them. Whenever I pick them, pick someone over them, the Eagles win. I'm hoping Pat changes that.
I mean, it is in Philly. There is a chance for that to happen, but
it's also clear skies, and there's a lot of fun stuff that I've been hearing. Oof, oh boy, last call's gonna be a doozy. All right, my gimme. Oh God, give me Coastal Carolina Chanticleers over Texas State. There you go.
I like it.
My boy Connor also was about to go to CSU until they didn't like his major. So there you go.
A kid that I went to high school with was going to go to Coastal Carolina to play football. And then they said he needed to have like a 2.5 GPA. He did not go to Coastal Carolina to play football.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina is like I think you need a 2.5 to play in most colleges.
See, but in high school, they said you need a 2.5 to get in to play football here.
Dude, I had a 2.9 and I had senioritis. How hard is it to get a 2.5?
I have no idea.
I stopped caring literally a week into my senior year and still graduated with a 2.9, so I don't know. All right, Kev. Actually, no, Pat, you got some feel-good for us. What you got for us?
Yeah, I do. So everyone's favorite philanthropist, Marshawn Lynch, was apparently spotted just handing out up to 200 free turkeys in Hawaii. As we all know, Marshawn Lynch is just a really good dude, and this is just a little piece of him giving back to his community.
Also, still the funniest thing I've ever seen was the Super Bowl commercials for Eagles. What's it called? No, it wasn't that one. It was the different one. Was it the Saint? I don't know which one. It had the Patriots in that Super Bowl, but it was when he was handing out Skittles to people in Ireland. And it was hysterical. I think it might have been the Falcons Patriots Super Bowl.
That's what I was gonna guess too. Also, yeah. Fun fact: this isn't anything new. When he was on the Seahawks, there's a clip of him on the sidelines talking to Richard Sherman, and Richard Sherman's like, "Oh, what are you doing for Christmas?" Marshawn Lynch went, "Christmas, I gotta get through Thanksgiving. I'm gonna be in my hood handing out turkeys."
Yeah.
Richard Sherman's like, "Oh, I'll join you."
It really shows.
Marshawn Lynch is honestly one of the best dudes in sports, honestly.
You know, he really does care about his community, and he does not forget where he came from. Hats off to him, as always. No, I feel like, too, you always hear these stories of, like, him just doing this kind of stuff, and that's why it's not even surprising. It's just it's good on him.
That's why he signed with Oakland, because he grew up in Oakland.
Also had the best sideline dance that got put into Madden, which was hysterical. As a guy who has all of his players do team celebrations every time, that is because I missed 2017 when everyone actually did it instead of just like posing for the camera and running off. Get back to celebrating, you jackasses. All right, Kevin, you got something weird for me?
I have something a little weird. It's not really weird. It's also another feel-good thing.
I'm all for feel-good, so.
So Thanksgiving's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
This Thursday, as we all know, for those, this isn't weird. We're just going to give a brief history of Thanksgiving. For those who don't know, 1621, the Pilgrims in Plymouth invited Poconoket, Wampanoag to share a feast that lasted 3 days. After those 3 days, obviously, you know, America had a great, fruitful, very healthy partnership with the Nitnomsking. We massacred them and stole their land. However, there is one country that has a phenomenal relationship with Native Americans. And not only Canada, they did the same thing. Even they're like, "Oh, sorry, like we're so..." No, you also massacred people and stole land. Shut up.
Thanks, Canada.
Ireland. Ireland actually has a great friendship with different Native American tribes. In the 17th century, when the Native Irish were forced out of Eastern Ireland to Connacht? I think it's Connacht, actually. By Oliver Cromwell, who my sister said I have to demonize. He was a piece of shit. So they were sent there, really rocky soil. They can't grow anything except potatoes. In 1847, they were in the midst of the potato famine because they couldn't grow anything else and all their potatoes were dying. The Choctaw tribe, who had just gone through the Trail of Tears like 15, 20 years earlier and saw 2,500, 6,000 of their people die on that trail, they gathered the money they could and sent $170 to the Irish people to help with the potato famine. It's about $5,000 today. And people might think it's not a lot. But however, you got to remember, these people were just ripped from their ancestral lands by the U.S. government and did what they could. Then, this year, there's actually a monument in Ireland to them for that, what they did. Then, this year, coronavirus, two tribes were hit very hard, the Navajo and the Hopi tribes. And there's a GoFundMe set up. In May, it's raised more now, but in May, it had raised $1.8 million for those tribes to get clean water, clean food, and medical supplies. And hundreds of thousands of dollars came from Irish donors who were trying to repay Native Americans for what they did in the during the potato famine right after Trail of Tears. And on top of that, the Irish-Native American relationship goes deeper than that. The 2022 World Games, which are kind of a way to showcase sports not part of the Olympics. One of those sports is lacrosse. The Iroquois Nation has a team, and the World Games leadership said, no, they can't participate. They are not a sovereign nation. Lacrosse is an Iroquois game. They invented it. They said it came to them from the creator. And people were pissed. There was a petition signed, 50,000 people signed it, and they can't. The World Games leadership, they said, okay, yeah, we messed up, but we're only letting 8 teams play, so we can't let them in. Sorry, guys. Ireland dropped out. Like, we're not playing. The Iroquois need to be there.
Much respect to Ireland.
But it's just, you know, it's like some kind of feel-good thing about two nations, the like Native Americans and Ireland, coming together and having a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, it's actually really wholesome. I'm a fan of that story. Thank you for that.
And I'm going to complain about sports after this.
I went more in depth. I wrote something about it on Belly Up. That's how I had all that information readily available, because I just read it earlier. Kindred Spirits, Ireland and Native American Friendship on Belly Up Sports. Go read it. I worked on it. And my sister, who has a master's degree in modern Irish history, helped me write it to get some of the facts right.
Not bad. Honestly, it sucks that was a really cool story, and I have to now talk about sports.
Oh, you're going to ruin it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to ruin it totally.
Jared, just pick a wholesome last call. Talk about a
wholesome. This ain't wholesome. I'm gonna call some people out today. All right, last call to either smooth jazz, or we might as well kick some heavy metal at this point. All right.
No, please put heavy metal under this instead.
I might have to. I might have to put that guitar riff from that I used for Bad Flip's podcast intro. As you folks know, obviously, Eagles fan here. Last 2 weeks have been brutal for your boy. Not only because that mustache weirdo and that camera over there giving me shit every 25 seconds, also because, you know, I got to watch the game and comment on it during, because, you know, it's part of my job. On top of that, I have all my friends who are Browns, Giants fans just give me so much smack. And I have everyone sharing these takes with me, all these pages, like, I haven't heard all this crap already. So to all of my friends who have been sharing all these takes from Eagles fan pages, calling for the benching of Carson Wentz and putting in Jalen Hurts. First of all, 80% of Eagles fans are brain dead. I will fully admit that right now. I will say that straight up. I am luckily not one of those 80% somehow. Because, all right, so first off, somebody said to me, Carson deserves 100% of the blame. I said, hell no, he doesn't. Does he deserve some of it? Oh, hell yeah. You had decision-making this year, not been great. So I will at least give Carson Wentz 20% of the blame. The other 80% are split up as following. I am going to give 35% to Mr. Dougie Peterson. Dude, what the fuck? You have a top 10 running back, and you have great receivers who are fast. You literally baked your bread and butter off RPOs and quick throws with Wentz. Get him out of the pocket, have him throw it quick, tell him to get rid of the damn ball. That's something you can do on the field before the play call. The rest of the blame goes to that weird, like, high-pitched noise loser we call a GM. Kevin, I will admit you were right here. Howie Roseman's claim to fame was robbing the Dolphins of Jay Ajayi. His draft classes have been atrocious. He passed up on DK Metcalf for JJ Arcega-Whiteside, who, by the way, has less touchdown catches than some offensive linemen in this league. Looking at you, Dennis Kelly, Eagles for life. All right, on top of that, this man has passed up on... So my boy Emmanuel Acho, who is part of Speak for Yourself in Fox Sports 1. Honestly, he's gotten so much better since Whitlock left. Kevin, I know how much you hate Whitlock. So Acho is a very well-spoken man. Smart guy. Former Eagle, so I got love for him regardless. Also Team 5-1. He said this today. How are you going to draft a quarterback in the second round who's not going to play? I'm not saying that Hurts should play. Why didn't you go draft an offensive lineman? Or take another stab at a receiver before you went and got one in the fifth with John Hightower? Or fourth. Why didn't you go take a stab at Denzel Mims, who was available? Chase Claypool was available. T. Higgins, who was available. If you really wanted to help your quarterback, why did your GM take another quarterback who you'd use for gadget plays? And it was the smartest thing I heard all day. Yes, is Carson the problem? Partially, the turnovers and the decision making have not been great. The play calling has been the worst thing ever. Doug Peterson needs to either relinquish his play calling or get the hell out of town. My patience is gone. When he said Jason Peters should remain as the starting left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, next Sunday, I almost ripped my hair off my scalp. That man allowed 4 sacks to Olivier Vernon. Or no, 3 sacks, 1 hurry. Olivier Vernon hasn't been a good player since he was wearing Miami Dolphins white. He sucked in New York. He sucked all of his time here in Cleveland. But that man looked like an all-pro on Sunday because Jason Peters can't block a sunlight, much less a defensive tackle. I mean, a defensive lineman. So, Jeffrey Lurie said today that if they don't turn the season around, heads are going to roll. Paraphrasing, but still. I know who those two heads are. The two last guys I mentioned. Roseman and Peterson. Doug's job's a little more secure than Roseman. Roseman's been on thin ice for 2 years now. Two missed trade deadlines in a row, bad draft picks, and a lot of rumors about him telling Doug who he can and cannot play. I think Lurie's had enough of Howie Roseman, and I think I've had enough of Howie Roseman, so it's 90% of Philadelphia. So, this is now for Carson Wentz. Kev, you can keep scrolling your phone. You're good here. My man, I have been a staunch defender of you since week one of the 2016 season. I did not want to draft you. I wanted us to draft Zeke Elliott and draft like Dak in the third round. Not kidding. I wanted the Cowboys strategy. I'll fully admit it. But you earned my respect. You earned my trust. You became my honest and my current favorite player. I will fully admit it. But this year, you really disappointed me. I don't know if it's because you got no kid. Listen, fatherhood changed people. You got married, whatever. I don't care. I always wear your jersey on Sundays as a good luck to my team. I had your game jersey for our Super Bowl run, and I bought one this year because I both put on a lot of muscle and my shoulders don't fit my old jersey anymore. Sucks, but it's what happens. I bought a new one. I will not wear your jersey again until you prove to me you are a legit starting quarterback. So this week, I will be wearing my favorite Eagles jersey, Brian Dawkins, the true Eagle, the unofficial mascot and patron of my team. The only athlete I actually look up to is my personal hero. You shouldn't look up to athletes as your personal heroes. I look at him as a role model. So, Weapon X up. Carson Wentz, man up. Eagles, I know it's stacked against the deck. If Pat picked you as his gimme, against you as his gimme, give me something. All right? That defense can't stop a fucking cold, much less a pass. So, it's in Philadelphia. Do something here. That's all I got. You guys got anything else? Any plugs? Sponsorships? Any wishes for Thanksgiving before we roll out of here?
Sunday, Clyde. Watch or hear Jared text about how terrible the Eagles are doing against the Seahawks and hear me loving life.
You know, it's really great to hear one of your best friends comment about your misery, but...
Yeah, it's sports-related. It's fine.
Yeah. Pat, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, just everyone have a really good Thanksgiving. If you're doing a Skype thing or, having guests over or what have you, just make sure you're safe and make sure you all love one another.
All right. Last quick thing here before we roll out, because we're about to hit the 1:30 mark soon, and that honestly is about what our usual Thanksgiving show goes for. First of all, I want to give thanks to a couple people right now. These two screwballs right here. In this chat with me, Kevin, of course, has been my sidekick and number two man for over a year and a half now. Kev, we actually just missed the 2-year anniversary of the corner booth, which we didn't even acknowledge because we've been kicking ass so much. But 2 years. We want to thank all of the viewers and the people who have listened to our show, helped us grow. The Sports, Mike, Blaine, my cousin-in-law Brian, everyone who helped get this podcast started. 2 years strong, we're kicking ass. We want to thank Mark, Savannah, and now Pat, all of you who have been involved, even if they were involved for an episode or more. All of our sponsors, Breckenridge Brew, Manscapes, Breckenridge Brew, Hoff Sauce, Invader Coffee, Teespring,
Kong Brewing, or Kong Beer Bong.
Kong Beer Bong, like... Guys, we love all of you so much, and thank you so much for everything you do for our show. And I want to wish you all a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving. If you are actually going to see family, be safe. Drive safely. I'm actually going to visit family, thank God. And it's going to be a fun time. But I want to wish you all a very happy, healthy Thanksgiving. And we will see you guys on Tuesday. Enjoy your weekend.
And we're thankful for the listeners.
I said that too. Yeah. Thank you for everyone who listens. Seriously, you guys make this show. Appreciate it. Hey guys, Jared. Thanks for checking out the Corner Booth Pod. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Corner Booth Pod. This podcast is brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network.